So we have this gospel that we call the gospel of the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is of course the shepherd and we are the sheep. An imagery which we hear all the time. All over the gospel we have this imagery that we are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. But I think we have to dive in a little deeper to really understand what's going on in this gospel passage. And so a couple of years ago, I've mentioned that I was very blessed to live for 2.5 months in the Middle East, in Israel. So I lived in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, where he grew up. I lived in Galilee, where he walked on water and called the disciples. In Jerusalem, where he was crucified and died, and also where he rose from the dead. And so one day, we went to a field where sheep were kept. And it was shepherding day. So we were going to learn what it was like to shepherd sheep. And so there's about 40 of us, and we broke out into about groups of 10. And the instructor said, okay, you 10, I've got about 35 sheep right here. All you have to do is get these sheep, they're animals, this should be easy, move the sheep from here, this little spot, over there. Just a couple hundred meters. That's all you got to do, just move them from there to there. And us 10 guys were like, this should be easy, right? We're grown men. These are little sheep. How hard could this be? And so they give us a little stick that you can use to tap the sheep as well. And that was the instruction they gave us. Go. Do it. As we walk over to the sheep, and we kind of each kind of started trying to do our own thing, speaking to the sheep, one or two of three or three of them. And we would just be like, okay, move. You know, move that way. We would take the little stick and we'd hit them a little bit, but not, you know, hard. And they wouldn't move. And again, we were like, move. You're like, we're trying to shout louder. Like, just move. Your animals, move that way. And again, they wouldn't move. So we tried to hit them a little harder, and that didn't really work. And maybe once in a while, if we would push them, they would move a few meters, and maybe another one would follow. But what would happen is the sheep who was moving might see a little patch of grass and go, ooh, grass. And then they would stop and start eating the grass. And once it was eating the grass, you weren't going to stop it from eating. Or if one of them stopped, the one that was behind it would then stop and smell the other one. Or if there was a noise, the sheep who might be moving would look over there. And so whether they would be eating, smelling, or looking, they were just in that moment, and they were going to do nothing else. And so we would again try to push them along. And it wasn't working. We were trying this for a while, and all 10 of us are not even in a circle. They're just kind of scattered all over the place, and we're not moving them very far at all. So eventually we start communicating to one another, and we get in like a semicircle, gathered around them, so they couldn't move out of our vicinity. And we stopped yelling, and we just spoke very gently, very nicely. And we almost whispered to them to move. Just listen to our voice and move this direction. Just follow our voice this way. And they finally started responding. And if for a second, if they stopped to eat, or to smell, or to look somewhere else, if we kept speaking quietly, the others would go, and they would follow. We had to speak very gently and quietly. That was the first thing we learned about that day of shepherding. Secondly, we learned that in ancient Israel, you know, many men were shepherds. So what they would do would be in town, in the middle of the city, they would have a big pen. They would keep all the sheep. And so if there were like 5 shepherds in that town, and each one had 200 sheep, they would just put all 1,000 sheep into this big pen that they had made with a gate to lock. And then when they wanted to get, the shepherd wanted to get his sheep out, he would go to the gate, unlock it, open the door, and then shout to his sheep to come. And even as simple as these sheep are, out of all 1,000, those 200 will recognize the voice of that shepherd. And they will move to the voice, they will leave the pen, and then they will follow him. Out of all 1,000, they recognize the voice, those 200, of just their shepherd. And so the shepherd would take them out, and then if he was traveling overnight to help them graze and raise them, or move them along somewhere, when he would want to sleep, he's got to again contain them, because sheep will travel wherever they want. Again, they're just focused on other things. And so what the shepherd would do at night is he would take big stones and he would set up like a big semicircle, like a big C, and he would build a wall of stones and he would put the sheep inside of there. And then in order to keep the sheep in, he would sleep at the entrance of that opening of the pen. He would become the gate of the pen. Recognizing if someone jumps over to steal a sheep, they can't put them over the fence. They got to bring them out through the opening. So if a sheep tries to leave, they'll hit the shepherd. He'll wake up. Or if a wolf comes in to attack, they got to meet the shepherd. Or if a thief goes in to steal one of the sheep, they got to meet the shepherd. So he was a physical barrier, the protection for those sheep. And so what we recognize out of those three examples of what we saw in the Holy Land in Israel is that one with us as well. The Lord always speaks very gently. He never condemns, he never yells, he never screams. And so what we have to recognize today after we receive the Eucharist, as we go back to our pews, let's just think of three things with these three ideas. Is first, let's call to mind our greatest sin right now that we're struggling with. Whatever that sin is that we're just trying to overcome, we can't get out, whether it's a public sin and our family knows, or it's a very individual sin. No one else knows. We don't want them to know. Whatever that greatest sin is, recognize that the way the Lord is going to conquer that sin is not by yelling at you, is not by screaming, is not by going, oh, you're such a piece of junk, you're such a bad person, grovel, you're terrible, why did I create you? And he doesn't beat us into submission. He doesn't say, the more I hit you, the more I beat you down, oh, then you'll grow, you become virtuous. No, he speaks very gently, quietly. And that place of brokenness where we sin the most is simply a place where we're trying to be loved. And so he wants to speak quietly and heal that part of our heart with his divine life. And then secondly, let us ask ourselves, like sheep among many, which voice have we been listening to? Maybe over this last week, for instance, recognizing that in our world there are many voices. You turn the TV on, there's somebody on the news telling you what to believe, what to think. You turn on a television show, everyone's got their little agenda telling you what to believe, what to think. You go to the supermarket, people are telling you what to believe, what to think. Maybe in a family quarrel or your marriage is having difficulties and your coworker says, come on, you can leave that person or you can cheat on them, it's fine, no one's going to know. Right? There's other voices telling you to do other things. And so which voice am I going to listen to? Which voice have I been listening to? Which one's actually going to guide me to truth? That's the second question. Which one have I been listening to? And with that second question, which voice do I try to listen to? In this last week, how much time have I actually spent in quiet prayer, learning the voice of God? And lastly, and the third thing, do we recognize that once we are baptized in this beautiful church into the mystical body of Jesus Christ, that he is our divine shepherd, our divine protector? And so if a thief or robber, if evil wants to come in and try to attack us, they got to first go through our Savior named Jesus Christ. And he has destroyed sin and death. And so he will destroy any evil that tries to attack you. And so you should not fear. You should not be afraid. Because the devil cannot win, because he has no power when you call on the name of Jesus Christ. And so what we have to not be afraid of is when we feel a temptation, when we feel sin trying to creep in, we can reject that in the holy name of Jesus. And what does that look like? When I feel the temptation of kind of worthlessness, of looking at myself in a terrible way, when I look and I feel the temptation of that hatred at times when my wife and I, you know, fight, that temptation at work or in the supermarket of lust, whatever it is, temptation of gossip, I should say in the holy name of Jesus, I reject this temptation of gossip. I reject this temptation of whatever it is. And I send it to the foot of the cross where sin and death is destroyed. Recognizing that then it is destroyed and that we should not fear. So just those three things as we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. His voice is quiet and gentle, simply to heal you. What voice am I listening to? And thirdly, I just received Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And in His holy name, I'll reject every single lie. And then when we receive the true voice of Christ, when we are truly filled, what happens is the Lord sets us on fire. And then people will simply come to watch us burn. And that's how we bring the light to others.